could go on for the whole meeting, it was a long drive. Long drive to listen. I'm a grateful recovery addict, my name's Paul E.
Hi, Paul.
And my home group's Progressive Recovery, and all I can say is if you're new or you're coming back, welcome home. You're off the hook. That's what was told to me a long, long time ago, okay? By the grace of God, I've been clean since I came to Narcotics Anonymous. I'll tell you a little bit of my story, a little, very little of the story, much more of the first three steps and sponsorship, and that's the whole deal. And I got a real surprise tonight when I looked down here, because I'm old, I've gotten old in Narcotics Anonymous, and when I came here, what you need to realize, and there's one person in this room who could really attest to that, is I was a chick magnet. I was 145 pounds, I was oozing deep tan, we went to the beach every day, and now I'm a fat Jew, you know, but the only person that knew me back then is Maud, who's sitting there, and well, Joel, but he and I shot dope together, but Maud getting clean together, and wow, such a pleasure seeing you, Maud. And the funny thing is, my ex-wife was in town this weekend, and you two lived together, and I ended up driving her home to her house where she was staying. Now, if that isn't God, I don't know what is. Anyway, I'm a happy camper. I'm a blessed camper. I'm the most fortunate person on planet Earth. And what I'm telling you, and if you can pick one thing out of after tonight, if you're a member of Narcotics Anonymous and you don't use, you've got the game for another day. And all we ever have to do is put it in one-day compartments. And when they told me that, you know, I mean, it's so hard for me to imagine, okay? In 1979, I got thrown out of New York. In case you have a hearing problem, that's where I'm from. And it was after five or six arrests, five or six mental hospitals, which they now call treatment centers. They just charge you $60,000 a month. But I was in there. It's the same shit. I mean, you're insane. They tell you where to go, when to go. Get on the van, get off the van, go to the van. Group, not group. That's what they did in Creedmoor State Hospital in the 70s when I was there. So I didn't have to write $40,000 in checks and insurance. It was free. That's a whole other issue for another time. The bottom line is that I got here to Narcotics. I got to Florida in 1979. And I had ruined everything and everybody I came in touch with up in New York. You know, it was, I guess to sum up my story, I could say that the Beatles came to Shea Stadium in 1965, and I woke up 15 years later. That's really the whole deal. We went into Shea Stadium. We're from Queens in New York, and we got in there. And then the next thing I know is methadone, heroin, overdose, Rikers Island, Queens House of Detention, Creedmoor State Hospital, EIEIO, and then I'm in Florida having been thrown out of my house with nobody talking to me. So I'm a pretty lucky guy. And when I got down here in the summer of 1979, I was just bouncing around, you know, shooting a little dope, which there was none of down here. I would have to send up to New York for them to send me packages and doing some drinking. And all of a sudden, and none of that matters, by the way, because very few people here, except maybe Bobby, went as low or lower than me, okay? And, you know, you should end up burned out as that. I mean, you know, that's your choice if you want to keep using. I got off just in time. But, so the bottom line is you don't have to have gone to those places. You know, they used to always say you can get off the elevator any way you want. And if you're sitting here in a meeting of Narcotics Anonymous, you don't have to pick up again. That's the guarantee. You do not have to. Let me tell you a little bit of the journey, the story, and what has happened by the grace of God in Narcotics Anonymous that I've been able to witness, be whatever piece of, and as I'm starting to say this, I'm getting goosebumps because I realize the enormity of what's happened, not only in my life, but in the life of Narcotics Anonymous and in the life of recovery and the life of the millions of souls and people that are being saved. And sadly, or coincidentally or not, tomorrow at 6 o'clock, I have a viewing in West Palm Beach of a 22-year-old kid, son of a friend of mine, overdosed. So that's the answer, you know, for young guys. I'm sure everybody knows someone that died, right? Now, the funny thing is, when I was your age, I didn't know anyone that died. But now it's just like such a common freaking thing, it's scary. Anyway, so I moved down here, and I was staying down here one day in 1980, in January. I was reading the Miami Herald. I don't know why. Looking back, I realized it was God, which I didn't believe in. Because I lived in Fort Lauderdale. Why was I reading the Miami Herald? I wasn't checking my stock portfolio. I was on government disability insurance by this time. The front page of one of the sections, I'll usually leave afterwards. The front page of one of the sections. No, because you see what it is? It's like, because I've been in so many mental hospitals and so many shock treatments that if anybody moves or if they answer a phone, I like totally like lose it. I don't know what it is. So I'm just refocus. See, that had me defocused. So I read this article, and the headline said narcotics. Obviously, it got my attention. I read the article. It was an interview with two heroin addicts that had been clean in Alcoholics Anonymous for X amount of years. And they talked about prison. They talked about methadone. They talked about overdoses. And they talked about this brand new program that had just started in Broward County called Narcotics Anonymous. So I didn't like, you know, actually, you know, they say you have to be at a bottom to get to NA. That's bullshit. I was 11 years past my bottom when I got to Narcotics Anonymous. My bottom was 1969. Last time I enjoyed using was at the Woodstock Festival in upstate New York. That was those 5 years, 65 to 69. It was party time. Sex, drugs, rock and roll. I mean, I had an apartment in Queens in New York. And the Carlisle Towers, and Joel probably remembers this, the entire living room, my furnishings were mattresses. And what you did, it was before any diseases, you just rolled over from body to body to body. Nothing mattered. That was it. I'm sorry to say. I'm not really. I mean, it is. Today, I don't have enough breath to roll over with or without anybody. I've got such COPD, I can't even, like, they do these commercials. I'm beyond that. Anyway, so I make a phone call, and a guy comes and takes me to a meeting, this guy Curtis. And he's like this little, muscular, redheaded kid who looked like everything my mother always wanted me to look like, you know, muscle, short, red hair, you know, like a surfer dude. And he was telling me on the way to the meeting about the perils of cocaine addiction and how he got clean in the Broward County Jail. And I looked at him and I told him what we did to people like him in New York. And Curtis, who was an active 12-step person, active, he was clean 3.5 years, he refused to take me home. The 15 minutes to my house, that's how abusive I was to him. Anyway, I left that meeting, there was nothing there I wanted for me, and 2 days later, something must have happened in that meeting. I called Curtis up, he must have forgotten, and this is when the whole thing happened for me. Curtis came and picked me up again, and he took me to the only meeting at that time, because the other one had canceled. It was a Tuesday night, and Maud certainly remembers, it was the New Freedom Group on Southeast 6th Street next to the courthouse in Pastor Connie's Mission. And I walked in, and it was the only meeting. It's a dark room, and there were desperados there. I mean, there was, you know, he says it's a program of attraction. I promise you, that was not a program of attraction. There was nothing there that looked remotely like anything I wanted. As a matter of fact, shooting dope in the streets of New York was more attractive than what I saw in that room. But, so I got up to leave. I went to Curtis. I said, look, I'm sorry to bother you. If I ever need you, I'll give you a call. I had money in my pocket. It was downtown Fort Lauderdale. I was going to go get shit-faced and whatever, you know, continue the journey downward. This is where the first of God knows how many divine interventions have happened in my life. But this is always the one that I focus on, especially when I'm talking to a group of people that I don't know, new people, some. Because this, to me, is the most powerful thing that ever happened to me, and maybe to anyone. There's six people in the meeting. I got up to leave. And at or about 8:27 or 8:28 p.m. on February 12, 1980, in this Lutheran ministry in downtown Fort Lauderdale, I'm leaving the room. At that exact minute, not a minute before and not a minute later, but at that exact minute, in's walking a guy that from my block in Queens, New York City, that I shot dope with. We ran the streets together. His arrests were in the paper just like mine. Matter of fact, his arrest was a real cool one. I mean, mine was cute. You know, I like the way mine, you know, the ones that were in the paper were, because mine had talked about it was like 20 well-tanned youths from the Upper East Side discotheque crowd. You know, we got arrested on National Boulevard. But Mark's, God rest his soul, was even bigger and better. I was going to say that before. I was going to ask the question, are there any doctors in the room here? If not, throw your fucking phones away. Who needs you for one fucking hour? What, are you kidding me? When you're in Rikers Island, do you get hourly phone calls? Jesus Christ almighty. I can't even believe it. Or was that someone calling for you to get back on the bed? I don't know what. I'm not sure. But easy.
I'm just hoping the church is not next door.
I don't really care. Don't worry about next door. Don't worry about next door, and I won't. Okay, babe?
You got me.
Okay, that's fine. So anyway. No, because this is really like a major thing, and I don't want you to lose the impact of it, because it's really that important to me. And it's probably the reason I'm here. Like she said, the reason she thinks she's here. I know this is the reason I'm here. Because at the exact minute that I'm leaving, not a minute before, not a minute after, in comes Mark Friedman. We look at each other, had no idea what we said, neither of us did. Somehow I ended up back in the room. I get a cup of coffee and I sit down, and there was a table just like this. And Mark was sitting at that table. Mark was the speaker at the Narcotics Anonymous meeting that night. Now, let's just look at these couple of things. I'm leaving to go out and continue my downward spiral. Who knows where I was going to end up? But like I said, I was getting disability. I had a place to live. Things weren't that bad when I got to Narcotics Anonymous. And at the exact minute that I'm leaving to continue to destroy myself, in walks a guy that had been given this gift that I knew. It wasn't like some stranger standing up and talking. We ran together. I knew his story. He knew my story. So when he sat in the front of that room and told his story, I didn't need to listen to it. I lived it with him. I'm going to tell you when I paid attention. Mark sat in the front of that room. He said, I haven't found it necessary to pick up a drink or a drug for 6 months. So I can wrap my arms around that. Of course, Mark, very much like myself, couldn't go 6 weeks. Couldn't go 6 days. Matter of fact, the only time that I refused a drink or a drug is if I misunderstood the question. I wasn't the kind of person that ever said, oh no, I've had enough. And I venture to say most of you aren't people that had enough. You know, how we get here. So anyway, I picked up a white chip. They didn't. I was laughing about all these key checks. Now they have like a 4.5 hour clean key check. But when I got clean, we had poker chips. You got them at 7-Eleven for 99 cents. And there was a box, red, white, red, and blue. That was it. No hour and a half, no moon glow, reglow, multiple, unmultiple. It was like free poker chips. And if you got them, that was your deal and you were good. And if you ever got a year, oh my God. So anyway, so here's the part that I couldn't quite get the more I look back on it. If anybody here ever gambles, they can look and give me the odds on this. No, if they ever did. I wasn't, Joe, I wasn't looking. Why would you say that? It's like someone sitting in open court. If anyone has any active warrants, I don't have any. I mean, really, Joey, come on, we'll talk about that. So, but think of the odds of this. Two Jewish drug addicts, two Jewish heroin addicts from Whitestone, Queens in New York City. At the exact minute that one of them is leaving to go and continue to destroy himself, the other one is walking in to tell his story about how we get redeemed in Narcotics Anonymous. I sat there and listened. I picked up my white chip that night. By the grace of God, nothing else. Sponsorship, yes. Friends, yes. Fellowship, yes. Very little of my own efforts. By the grace of God, I had that interventional surrender in my life on that night. Now, in the 70s, I wanted to stop. Nobody taught me how. In the 60s, 69, 70, 71, 72, I was in so much trouble. And nobody showed me how to stop. And I come in here, they say, you don't take the first one. And by the grace of God, until he passed away last year from pancreatic cancer, clean, Mark Friedman, he always had 6 months more than me. Last year was a very, a strange or whatever year in my life, because Big Robert, who was one of the people that did the interview in that article, may he rest in peace, his clean date was January 1979, and mine is February 1980. So every year at my anniversary, Robert would bring me his medallion until this past year. And every year at my anniversary, Mark would be sitting there having 6 months more than me. And we all grew up together in this program, and now I'm here and they're not. So the bottom line is, you suit up and show up till your time's up. You know, what can I tell you? I mean, it's been a journey of incomprehensible magnitude, both up and down. Anybody who tells you they come into Narcotics Anonymous and skip up the 12 golden steps of life, never experience a negative emotion, go check the urine, because this is about feeling. This is about going through the deal and embracing the whole deal. Since I'm clean, not everything, but just to sum it up in a little bit, divorce, marriage, bankruptcy, IRS lien, bankruptcy, almost indicted, lose my business, lose my house, stepdaughter dying in her bed at 15 years old. That's clean. Everything that I just said to you happened to me since February of 1980. My father dying, my mother dying, E-I-E-I-O. So the bottom line is, if you're here and you've surrendered, then there's no reason to pick up. There's no excuse. No matter what means no matter what. There's nothing, I don't care what's going on in my life today. I got some stuff going on. I got a head full of teeth issues. I just passed Nova, where I spend half my life when I'm down here, right next door. And I got this COPD. I can't breathe. I don't know how important that is, but I just can't. So, but you know what? I'm here today. Where else am I going to be? What's a great freaking experience. By the grace of God, I sleep with my door open. I walk with my head high. I have respect here in Florida, respect in New York. I interact with a ton of people. And it's all because of that initial surrender. When you're sick and tired. We used to have, I laugh about all these books. More you must live about. I mean, there's 9,000 freaking books, all written by third grade graduates. And because I know the people that wrote this book. You gotta say something. The last chapter of this book, if you check, watch, I'm gonna see. I bet you it's 1982. Let me just check before I put out some bad information. Because everything I say is pretty close to truth. No, I mean it really is. Bing, bing, bing. Oh, no, this isn't the original book.
This is Boston.
The book, that's what I was looking for.
I know you don't read that one, it's okay.
I...
It's okay. I don't either.
That's easy, babe.
I don't either.
That's okay, babe. I just don't want you to be texting me anymore, Beth. My wife's been checking my phone, she's getting a little...
I told you to erase them, Paul.
You don't want to go toe-to-toe with me, Beth, you know. You know you're never going to have a chat with me. I was with some celebrity in East Hampton 3 weeks ago. My friend just opened his high-end rehab out there, so he has me come in and do groups everywhere. So there's a guy, I mean, a real celebrity. So he's done, I said, well, pal. He says, do you know how many movies I've made? I said, do you know how many people I buried? I said to him, I said, you don't want to be going toe-to-toe. But that's all I'm saying. He's a famous guy. So anyway, this is copyright 1980. With a bunch of burnouts. He's got real movies. Copyright 1982.
That's correct.
Okay. So if I got clean in 1980, that means that wasn't here.
Little white one.
One little white pamphlet, 13 or 15 pages. We all carried it around in the back of our pocket, right? Maud smiled, but that's what we did. Matter of fact, I was so on fire when I got clean that I carried this pamphlet in my back pocket. And my dad was sick, God rest his soul, and I would be flying up to New York every weekend. So when I, as a matter of fact, that's how I met Brad Morrison. He wasn't ready to get clean then, but that's how I met him. I was walking up the aisle in Braniff Airlines. Anybody that was under 35 or 40, I was giving them the pamphlet. God, that's how I met Brad.
Oh,
ask him. He didn't get clean for 10 years later, but... That's how I met him. In other words, I was on fire about it. I still am. You know, I still am, because how could I try to keep this secret to myself? And the more I share it, the more I get back. That's what was told to me by some incredible sponsorship. So so we were talking about the book. Now, we were all, I mean, I have pictures. I was on the World Convention Committee in 1981 that we put on in the Marco Polo Hotel, the first big world convention. I was the entertainment chairman. I was the fundraising chairman. You know, the whole nine yards. And a lot of people from that committee are dead. So what happened then, the literature committee came, and we decided, well, we needed a book. And this guy, Bo, from Atlanta, came down with all of his files, and he brought them up to my apartment. I was living in Sunrise Lakes. Brought them upstairs. Now, just to let you know, when they talk about to tell you to do a fourth step, did anyone ever hear of a fourth step?
Yeah.
Yeah? Okay. So your sponsor tells you, well, go and write, you got to write a fourth step. Nobody would ever do that. However, when the Narcotics Anonymous World Service in Van Nuys, California, sent the word out to the fellowship, we're looking for stories for the basic test. Let me tell you what happened for the next 3 weeks. I could call up Mark. Hey, Mark, you want to go out tonight? No, I'm writing. People would call me up. Paulie, you want to go? No, I'm writing. Nobody was going out. We all wanted our stories in that freaking book. Thank God mine didn't get in. That's all I can say. But I wrote it. The journey that you're on. You guys are young, man. I don't know what to tell you. I don't know if you're finished or not. I can't promise you this. If you continue to use... Stuff that happened to me will seem like nothing compared to what's going to happen to you. With this kid Brandon's funeral I'm going to be at tomorrow, 22 years old, up in Palm Beach. So you play the hand out any way you want. I don't know what would happen, honestly, if I was in my 20s and someone told me this. I'd probably be sitting there and say, shut the fuck up, you old man. I wouldn't say it out loud, but I would think it. And, you know, so I don't know where it's going to play. I really don't. The bottom line is, there's 12 steps. Just do one half of one step perfectly. Don't pick up, no matter what. Then you'll come to believe in the second step. And you'll realize that this power is enormous. Limitless. I don't care what you call the power, what the power is, who it is, where it is. It's enormous. Now, when I say enormous, I mean enormous. Without limits. In other words, the God that I understand, that I have come to believe in, there's nothing that he can't do. Nothing. Nothing. took him out of a coma, took her off the deathbed. These are two people I know. They just happen to be sitting right here. I happen to be at his hospital bed when that happened. I mean, how can I, like, not, you know, not realize there's something going on here? Like, there was an old song that old people remember this. You may be too old, but you'll probably remember. No, I think it was by Vanilla Fudge. Something's happening here, for what it's worth. Something's happening here. Buffalo Springfield, right. Thank you. All right, Bobby. All right, you're good. I'm going to bring you on the road with me. That's good. You're right. Anyway, the bottom line is you don't need to explain this thing. You know, it's like my sponsor, Fred T., God rest his soul, used to always say, matter of fact, he used to start every time he spoke to you and every time he spoke in a meeting, he said, has anybody told you they loved you yet today? I hope so. And if not, let me be the first. I love you. And that's what Fred was to me. He was the love doctor. He dragged me out of the gutter. He saw my life go from disability, degeneracy, no future, no income, the United States government supporting me, to being a partner in the New York Stock Exchange brokerage firm. How does that happen? When I did my application for my stock brokerage license, I had too much. You couldn't fill out all of this. I'm not suggesting this, by the way, but it had too many things. It has arrest, mental health. It would have been pages, so I decided to put none. Evidently, God pulled my yellow sheet when that papers went through. I'm not suggesting that. When you're sitting in prison, I don't want to say, Paul E. told me he did it. But what I'm telling you, man, has been a magic ride. You come to believe, find a power, get someone you can talk to. That was my first power. The first thing that made sense to me, someone had a T-shirt at that first meeting and said, I can't and we can. To this very day, almost 34 years later, I can't do this alone. With your help, there's nothing I can't do. And then the third step, you make a decision. You want to give more and more to this guy. You need a sponsor. It's something you need, someone with a direction guide for you. Don't try to think your way through this because it's not going to work. And the last thing I'm going to say, only because I just thought of it looking at Maud, the guy Curtis, who I told you about, who took me to that first meeting, who I abused, and then picked me up again. Another woman having hot flashes when they look at me. It's okay. No, it's okay. I'm aware of what happens when I'm in the room. I got it. Don't feel bad with that. Call your sponsor after this. No, it happens oftentimes. Trust me, I'm all right with that. Just go to different meetings. That's all you have to do. You get over it. Anyway, just to show you how powerful this disease is, Curtis, who was clean a bunch of years, went out, got loaded, pulled some robberies, came back, went out, got loaded, pulled a couple of bank robberies, got sentenced to 15 years in state prison in Florida. I'm not going through all the ins and outs of this whole story, but Curtis, 6 weeks ago, got out of prison. Most women do that after they wake up next to me.
I've heard this.
I understand, but now he's out. I'm going to see him.
Amazing.
It's incredible.
Oh, my God.
To God. No, good girl. That's all right. So the bottom line is, he got out 6 weeks ago.
Oh, my God.
He's living in some place in Miami. He called me yesterday. And either Friday or next Monday or Tuesday, I'm going down and we're going to go to a meeting together. But the one part I got to tell you, I visited him in a couple of the prisons. And like, seriously, I'm not like the greatest thing in the world the way I look now. Curtis, this muscle-bound, red-headed, incredible-looking guy, looks like the guy from Alcatraz. Skin and bones. Pulled in face. So tragic. When I would go visit him when he was down in South Miami at that hellhole down there, well, 27th. You sit there in the outside fence having lunch. You just leave, and you have to say, "But for the grace of God."
Mm.
You have to. How did that happen? He picked me up twice. He picked me up twice. I basically told him to go screw himself. And I get it. And he's in prison. I don't know how those cards are dealt. I don't know. So I don't ask. All I know, the one thing I was taught, a grateful addict will not use. Every night, mad, glad, or sad, when I get home, I just say the easiest, most simple prayer in the world. Thanks. Thanks.
Thanks, Paul.
Disconnect.
Okay, thank you so much, Paul.
Thank you, Cheryl.
So glad you came. I'm going to pass the basket. Okay, so this is, we have a seventh tradition that states every NA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. And the dollar that you put in the basket will pay for our literature that's up here for you guys to take, and our coffee and rent for the room, and if there's any money left over, we'll donate to the area. Okay, let me see what else we've got here.
That's why I ended. I wanted to have time.
Yeah. Anybody want to share? Raise your hand. Morty.
I feel like I don't have to introduce myself. I'm
Morty.
Morty.
When I saw you, I thought about Curtis. And then when you started talking, Curtis took me to share at a mental institution. And after I shared, please remember, I hadn't been to jail. Well, I was arrested a lot, but I wasn't in jail. He turned and he said to everybody, in Coral Springs Mental Institution, you don't have to get as slow as her to get in front. It's so good to be on. I cannot tell you. When you said it was the first respect for sponsorship, I'm down here on vacation, and shit's just been coming at me really fast, really strong. I'm in a lot of fucking pain. It's not even discomfort. It's a lot of pain. It's emotional, and it's something. But like you said, we don't have to leave. You know, I've got a relative who's using and driving her kids, and you know, I have to make the decision: do I call social services or not, and lose the relationship that I have? I go see another friend of mine who continued to use the story. Probably not as old as you, Paul.
That's great.
actually, I think I'm older than him, but I'm trying to say it. And she continued to use and got went on doctor's medication, and now she's like total batshit crazy in a nursing home. And when we talk about, you know, jail institutions, I don't think about the institutions. Up until recently, she's been okay. And today she screamed at me. She wanted to kill me. Told me to get the fuck out. And it's just been real painful for me. So coming to a meeting, and of course I call my sponsor, that's what I'm supposed to do. And I bring it to the Narcotics Anonymous meeting, because that's what I'm supposed to do. You know, and I learned that in here, that it doesn't matter what's going on, how you feel, good, bad, or otherwise, you bring it to a Narcotics Anonymous meeting. And I would tell you, when I moved from here, I moved up to North Carolina, where they think a bagel is a hunting dog. So, I wouldn't go toe-to-toe with you, but you were cuter.
Thanks, that's great.
So sorry. I know between the two of us there's about four other people we could kill. But anyway, I moved up there and I was scared. I didn't know what I was doing. I was used to being around New York Jews. You know, and here I moved, and I mean really they didn't speak English. One sentence would be like one word. Jaman here. Like that was a sentence. And then they would say God, and that would be four syllables. God would just and I go, I have no idea what I'm doing. I went to a Narcotics Anonymous meeting, and I walked in, and I shared. I said, I don't know what I'm doing here. I'm surrounded by nothing but hillbillies and rednecks. What the fuck was I thinking? I was in a room full of rednecks and hillbillies. point of that is, they accepted me, they didn't tell me to get the fuck out, they didn't throw me away, they accepted me, you know, I still go to that meeting, it's my home group, and I can go in there and do what I have to do and stay clean, because no matter what, you don't have to do it. You ask for help, put in this act, take it to the meeting. I must have been, Paul said about the texting and that stuff, I'm attention deficit, somebody starts texting going, oh, maybe it's important. Really, there's nothing, in our home group, we tell you to get the fuck out, take care of your business, but you don't have to worry, oh, this is all too much.
Glad you're here, Maud, thank you, darling.
Thank you.
Made it worthwhile for me to drive 8 hours to meet. I'm serious.
I drove 13 hours.
I understand that, but you're needier than me. Remember, you don't want to get in the ring. I told you that. Just comes automatic.
Anybody else want to share? We still have a little time.
Sure. Hi, Melina.
Hi, Melina.
I really enjoyed your testimony because I thought no one else could be as animated on this planet more than I could. You're a one-man show, that's for sure. And show and showmen. I really related to, you know, if someone would have shown it to me sooner, I might would have gotten it sooner. That really stuck out to me. I just celebrated 7 years at the first of the 2nd of January. And there was a lot of craziness, you know, a lot of different addictions to get me to, you know, to not necessarily my bottom, but far enough down that I didn't want to be there anymore. But with that said, you know, it doesn't matter if it's today, tomorrow, yesterday. At some point, somebody's saying something to you, or to me, somebody said something to me that made sense. It made sense, and I relate to that. Somebody said something, or did something, or it was that moment where, for me, I was ready to hear it, openly. And my life has also had a lot of ups and downs through the 7 years. I can relate to that as well. But I didn't have to use. I cried a lot. I said more curse words than I probably said in all the years I was in my addiction, but I didn't have to use. I have 6 beautiful children. Finally, and they're all girls. And so I finally got a grandson because I told God, I might use if you don't let me have a boy in this family. But he didn't want me to use, so he gave me a grandson. And I'm just trying to teach them that they never have to pick up. So I'm a witness to not only myself and the people that are around me. I'm hoping to inspire and instill in my own children that there's going to be crappy days. Well, there's going to be a fun day. That, hey, it's a Friday night, let's go party. But you don't have to pick up them either. So whether it's a hurtful day or it's a happy day, Drugs and alcohol, to that extent, never have to be a part of it. So thank you so much for sharing your story, and
thank you.
Hope they write another book, so I'll give myself a thanks a lot.
We have enough testimony. You know, the one thing I was thinking before I came here, and I don't care what you can ask for burning desires. Tell them to see a freaking doctor if they got a burning desire. Listen to me. I was watching the news tonight, or the Weather Channel, and my wife and daughter are up in New York, right? And it's amazing. It's like the vortex number 7. They invent these new words. Like every week you have the storm of the century. But right now it's like snowing. Everything's getting closed down. And you know what I was thinking of 34 years later? How tough it would have been to get to Harlem.
Absolutely.
Who do I give a shit about? What do you think? I care that the subways are closed, work is shut down, schools are closed, the airline has canceled all flights. How am I going to get to PJ's house? That's what I want to know.
PJ? Okay, everybody, we're kind of out of time.
Let me hear a burning desire. Do that.
Is anybody here who has a burning desire, please raise your hand now and share with us. Is something important to me today? I don't help you stay clean another day. No? Okay.